is A New World Order, and I am Chancellor Zane C. Weber of the National Council of Zane Australia, here with my colleagues from across the seas, one of them whose nation isn't quite living up to his expectations, and the other who's not quite living up to his nation's expectations.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He did bite the bullet. He did bite the bullet and,
who's he?
And admit and admit a fault. And there, is now, and there is now peace.
We're not at war anymore. I'm only sass talking because that's what I do.
You've worked yourself into this little shoot where you have to do it. Mm-hmm. I'm your number one contender and your man with the automatic rematch clause, Sebastian of the United States of Sub-America.
And I am Andrew Schossler, the most supreme, magnificent overlord of everything you ever saw in the Great Confederacy of Andropolia.
And if you are joining us for the first time, we each run a virtual nation on the nationstates.net simulator, and each week bring an issue that's plaguing our nation to the table so we can argue about it before trying to solve the issue in a way that stays true to our political leanings.
As an added bonus or an added layer or an added level of that thing difficulty, in the side of your thing that hurts when you sit down or
kidney,
run too fast or, yeah, drink too much or not enough or whatever.
Old age. I'm having a stitch.
I think I'm having a stroke, actually. Gypsy curses us every 5 seasons. In our last episode, we wrapped up the meteor strike. You can listen to the results of that in our Patreon episode. But the big revelation from that is that Sub-America and Zane Australia are no longer at war. Not that they're not going to fight anymore. They're just no longer at war. And we have a new issue to pick. So, Seb.
Now, I've drawn the issue and had a read. Excellent. And I want to propose, before either of you know what it is, this is a very similar issue to one that we have done previously.
Pick again.
Okay.
What was it?
It was similar to our Truman Show one. It's okay. Ready Player One VR built.
Yeah. Boring.
Yeah.
Good call.
There's also, I know, for the record, there's one in here that's like, we're in the Matrix as well. If I rip all the one, I'm also for the same reason. Oh, this is a real one.
Oh, okay.
Pandemic. That's all it says.
What, zombies again?
It just says pandemic. The board game.
Oh, right. I'm going to say disease.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do we go with epidemic then, I guess, as a rephrasing of this? Oh, a pandemic.
Well, no,
pandemic.
A pandemic is an epidemic that's happening across the world.
Yeah, that's that.
So, oof. All right.
That's no good.
Okay, I mean, guys, we can still do Ready Player. Actually, I misread. I thought it was stuck in a VR world. It's Ready Player One style VR world built.
Yeah. Ooh. So
it's optional. It's not forced.
Yeah.
But you were living in a simulation for yours anyway. So, fuck it.
Well, I do have an issue that really I was hoping to is. Really messes me up. But let's do it anyway. Friends, Zane Australians, countrymen, lend me your ears. Oh, I'm glad I'm not at war anymore. After the Citizenship and Immigration Services announced that they received a record number of applicants for naturalization, people have once again begun to debate who should or should not be considered Zane Australian countrymen. An immigration issue.
So people are flocking to Zane Australia in the midst of this pandemic.
Because we have great healthcare.
Because you hoard all the medicine.
Because you have healthcare. Look at you, Andrew.
Well, you just dismantled your welfare.
No. We're down 8% after going up 10,000% over the last 90 episodes. It's fine.
We'll see. One.
Well, blood really decides it all,
claims armchair eugenicist Belinda Ramirez. There's always one, isn't there?
There's always one in every room, apparently.
Without the genes that allowed for such historical greatness, our ancestors could never have built such a fine country. To protect their timeless achievements, we must settle once and for all that a citizen of Zane Australia can only come from ethnically pure parents. Other races cannot pollute our citizenry, lest they undermine the very values that the nation depends upon.
So that's a hard no from Zane.
Good, really strong move.
Surprising.
There.
Yeah.
We've always welcomed anyone that wanted to come to Zane Australia and encouraged anyone who wanted to leave to also do so. We don't force people to stay.
I know, but this is giving the real Zane Australians that little wink of approval. Yes, you're
and
the
what
real
I'm
Zane
saying
Australian.
Is, I don't think there is a real Zane Australian. We do our best to try to be good global citizens.
Come on,
pandemic
Zane.
Though is
come
a
on.
Bit of an issue. So
you
we'll
know,
see.
You know, you have your favourites, Zane.
I didn't read through these issues.
You look across the submissions of the day. People coming in to have you sort out their problems, and you have your favourites. You see the photos attached, and you go, "Oh yes, I'll listen to them first.
Yeah,
I care about their issues a little bit more."
I don't know how things are done in Andropolia.
I send them all away. I don't want to hear from you.
Employing your family. Number two. Hey, that's absolutely horrific, hollers Francois Wonka, a Lilliputian immigrant. Say Australia needs to be open to all colours, creeds and cultures that come here to live a better life. Nothing justifies punishing people for having the wrong birthplace, in inverted commas, or family tree, in inverted commas. Everyone born in Zane Australia deserves the right for equal treatment. And even if you weren't born here, it should be easy to join the ranks of your fellow citizens.
Now, as a real world example.
Real world.
The Roman Empire
mm-hmm.
heavily restricted citizenship.
Correct.
You had to, basically you either had to be in the aristocracy or serve in the military. In order to, it's basically Starship Troopers.
Starship Troopers,
right?
The Starship Troopers model.
You had to perform some duty for the glory of
the Empire. A citizen was
a
better class of person than a civilian.
Well, somebody who sacrificed their life in service of the nation, they were rewarded with their citizenship. Yeah. And as time went on,
it became feudal.
The Senate began to use the citizenship as a sort of, you know, extra incentive as an extra tax break or whatever you got.
And you get barbarians being granted citizenship.
That's exactly
right.
And it's one of the reasons why the Roman Empire unraveled.
So what you're saying is that it should be perfectly easy for anyone to become a citizen if they wish. So that there's nothing special, in inverted commas, about being a citizen.
I'm not at all ashamed to say that a meritocracy is a great thing. I don't think everybody should be respected just because they're alive and human. I think you need to earn it.
I'm the opposite.
So option number one's right out because there's nothing about being born to a certain person that makes you better than someone who was born to
a
good person.
Yeah, it's a genetic lottery. You
well,
don't have any input into that.
Well, there is one more option. So let's see what it offers.
Right.
Anyone hypothetically can become a citizen, but they first need to fully understand our way of life,
okay,
remarks civics teacher Layla Dillon. If you're not ready to learn the values that are the bedrock of Zane Australia, you've got no business being part of our People's Republic. That means memorizing all 40 verses of the National Anthem and being able to list all 1,024 cantons of the alphabetical order, like any true citizen of Zane Australia can. Only those who pass stringent exam can prove themselves to be true Zane Australians.
Literally, that is, you know, the worst assessment you could potentially have of just
arbitrary assessment.
Yeah, just memorize these words and that's it. And that's
the Australian citizen thing. Well, we do. How many banjos
what
is there in
the
Matilda?
World overdue?
Yeah.
There's a difference between a resident and a citizen.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. These are people who have lived here and are seeking naturalization, but it will, of course, affect immigrants who are looking to move here and how easy it is to naturalize.
Yeah. And
so,
I guess it comes down to what does it mean to be a citizen in terms of what benefits do you get as a citizen?
Yeah.
You know, you pay a little less tax, you're eligible for the healthcare and for other services. Every resident still has access to police and fire services. It's not like you don't. They're generally taxed a lot heavier than citizens are.
So,
but all the services are still available, with the exception of healthcare, which doesn't extend to elective things. It gets complicated
in, say, Australia.
Okay,
in the face of a global pandemic, we recognize that we have the technology and the healthcare to significantly contribute to the treatment. So, at this point, we don't want to discourage, because we're also mandatorily vaccinated.
Right.
We don't want to discourage people from seeking help from us. So we will take refugees. We will send people out to less developed nations. Mm-hmm. And we are surrounded by a few of them, as we've dealt with in previous arcs. So it's either two or three. One's right out. Unless there's a veto coming in, I am going to go number two.
Despite you insulting my family, I'm not going to issue a veto.
I didn't insult your family. I just pointed out that a lot of them seem to be employed by your regime.
Oh, there you go. Insult me again.
Veto?
No. I'll be honest. I wasn't even listening.
I know.
I trust that you're making a good choice, though.
Okay, so I am choosing to make it very easy.
Extends citizenship to everybody who
wants it. Oh, good. That's what I would have done.
Census workers struggle to account for the rapidly increasing number of citizens to tabulate. Government initiative unusual but good, experts say. Civil rights activists, now we're getting somewhere. Sunscreen sales grow. City planners consider a 14-sided roundabout. Ideological radicality up 2.5. That is the biggest jump. Following inclusiveness, 2.2. Civil rights up 1.6. Intelligence up 0.3. Taxation up 0.2. Recreational drug use up 0.2.
Yeah. That's what happens when you let them in, Zane.
Sure. Nudity up 0.1. Economic output up 0.1. And average income 0.1 as well. Yeah. Biggest down is social conservatism at 4.8. Authoritarianism down 0.2%. Tourism down 0.06, and same for welfare and cheese exports. Interesting, the welfare went down, but I'll accept it.
Right.
Is 0.06, so virtually nothing.
Maybe because more people are being taxed now. They're not able to get out of the system. Yeah.
So we are...
In the world of government, essentially the government employs more than half the population. Yeah, you couldn't avoid paying your taxes. Mm. Well,
yeah. Also, immigrants may be working less desirable jobs, if depending on where they're from, that maybe the sophisticated...
We have robots for that. So in response to the pandemic, Zane Australia has opened its borders to treat as many people as it can. And that is how I'm spinning that issue.
Oh, spin away.
Can I spin some issues?
You family hater, you.
I love my family.
Duck, but you hate mine.
I love your family as well.
Oh, this is a dangerous one because I only have two choices. And I haven't read either of them. Sorry, this is a real big spin by me. Mine's called Cash for Colons. Hospitals have requested that they be allowed to pay people for donating blood and other bodily organs, such as kidneys. So
good, yeah.
I can spin this either way, I'll be honest, guys.
No, it's a pandemic, of course.
They need healthy needs to be done. Livers.
But also there's a reason to be like maybe slow down the handing over of organs because people may be infected. So honestly, I will spin this either way. Uh-huh. Have at thee.
Yeah.
We remain critically short of blood, plasma, and various organs, says Samarica One Hospital Administrator Naki Jackson. Especially hearts. A good heart is hard to find. But if we're allowed to pay for donations, we get more of them and could save more lives. Plus, the donors take home a few hundred big dollars in compensation. I'm not sure that one's going to work. Unless it's post-mortem donation, of course. In that case, we'd pay the family. Is this alleging that you could pre-sell your heart?
Yes. Zane Australia's had this issue before.
So the idea is like, give me $10,000 now, and when I die, you get my heart?
Not only that, you could actively sell a kidney and a lung and still go on living.
Oh, yeah, but they're specifically saying heart, which is one of those ones that you can't. Yeah. That's what I mean. Yeah. Like, I'm a bit confused as to how you would not do that post-mortem.
So basically you say that you have bought the rights to my heart.
Interesting. Okay.
You sell futures to your heart.
That was option one. Option two. Great idea, says social commentator Waldo Pound. Except for one thing. You know who's going to be selling their organs? Poor people. And they'll be so desperate for money that they'll sell their own kidneys. Well, a kidney. This is just another way for the rich to buy themselves a better life at the expense of the poor. It must be outlawed. The way he's phrasing it, it sounds like they're being taken advantage of, but also if they want to sell their kidney, man, that's their choice. My aim as a government, as the government, should be to make sure there's less homeless people to begin with, not punish those that are existing for trying to meet ends through legally mandated means.
However,
yes,
global pandemic.
Yes, which is why I was leaning towards, it's tough because obviously having a supply of fresh, good organs could be helpful with this
Poor people are the most at risk to be infected.
Yeah, it's a real toughie. That's why I said, like, literally, I wasn't worried about this one because even with two options, both kind of make sense for a pandemic. Keep a fresh supply of good organs and also restrict bad organs. So I'm going to say, despite the fact that I'm not, it's the one I like the least, but I'm only going with it for pandemic reasons. I'm probably going to do the restriction method. And also, I do like the idea of it's not taking advantage of the poor, even though I don't mind them selling these things because rich people can sell them just the same.
Yeah.
It's fine. But unless they have any vetoes, I'm going to go with blocking it.
I'm not going to veto you.
No.
But if not pandemic, it would have been 100% the other one. Yeah. Organ donation rates have hit a new low.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised by that. No.
To be fair, the game probably would have spun it negatively if you chose the, you know.
Yeah. So it does spin it that people are selling their organs for profit.
That's fine.
But it's a net gain when Zane Strally did it.
The other plus side we didn't really touch on, if I'm opening up the organ market, I'm opening up the driving of the prices on said organs. So it would have been harder for people that need them to be able to afford them necessarily.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's ups and downs either way. Now there's less organs on the market, but they should be more affordable in theory. So family group groups applaud return to decency. Leader honored with new statue. Please. Elderly welcome return to traditional values and tax increase vital, pardon me, to funding Samaritan innovation, economists say. Very small ups, but the biggest is a bad one of death rate 5%. Mm. And then 2% income equality and 1% between average income of poor, authoritarianism and social conservatism. As for the downs, not good again. Health down 11%. Gambling down 4% because I killed all those homeless gamblers.
And why did you kill all those homeless gamblers?
Well, they couldn't sell their organs for food money since they starved to death, I assume.
Now they're dead. Their blood is on your hands, Seb.
So... yeah, not happy all up. But I mean, my death rate has been taking a lot of steps down. In fact,
I was just going to say, just to play devil's advocate in retrospect, if you did allow the sale of organs, they would all have been screened anyway before they were installed in anybody.
In theory, yes. But yeah, I guarantee because the option didn't include it, maybe they would have punished me in some, I don't know. But yeah,
screenings
I would assume
are
so.
Never 100%. That's why homosexuals are still banned from donating blood, because it takes a certain amount of time for certain diseases such as HIV or whatever to show up on tests. And usually if you have the blood, you're not going to be able to store it.
Viability of using it is ruined.
Like rabies as well can take up to like 14 days from memory. I might be a bit wrong, but it takes more than a week.
Yeah, that's right. Straight people never get rabies.
Never.
Yeah, we all know that.
I'm just saying, people that are bitten by dogs, they don't show any signs or symptoms in blood results either for the first 14 days. It might be 11 days, but it's over
a
week.
Seb, we all know how homophobic you are.
Well, you know Andropolia's unofficial motto? Never let an emergency get in the way of a good tax discussion.
I remember it.
God, you all get the memo, Andrew.
I'm gonna have a hell of a time spinning this one. After a recent newspaper expose revealed that many corporations in Andropolia have been using obscure segments of the tax code to avoid taxation, an army of proletarian protesters marched on the companies involved. Naturally, the corporations sent out their own troop of crack lawyers, and they have met in the only conceivable middle ground, your office.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I've had that before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never go away. Yeah.
Let's look at the legal facts here, shall we? Asks Angela Garrick, a sharp-suited lawyer opening a manila folder filled with the seemingly unending sheaf of papers. The organization I represent acted within the strict letter of the law and structured its assets as anybody would, in a manner to avoid the maximum amount of tax paid. Taxes are designed to reward certain behaviors over others by offering a scheme of incentives and disincentives to those behaviors. The mere idea that a change in which behaviors to reward and that my organization should finance that change retroactively amounts to legislative tyranny. Yep, I sympathize. That's true. But that's also suggesting that we can't change in the face of some necessary
need
or impetus or whatever. That's bloody ridiculous, puffs red-faced protester Michael Milo, blowing spittle all over his superlicious counterpart. They're trying to paint all of this as something that any reasonable person would do, but it just isn't. I don't know every inch of the tax code, and it's not like I can get all these smug big shots to hang around the flat and tell me how to structure my assets or some other rubbish. They knew what they did was against the spirit of the law. If nothing else, take them for all they've got. It's only fair. Absolutely not. The law is the law, and if it's complicated, but you're acting in accordance with it, acting in agreement with it, then that's the law. Then you have to respond by changing the law.
So you're incentivizing following the law.
Yeah, exactly right. I think the third option is going to be the one that Andropolia goes with, unless there's some veto. Let me read through that one. Most supreme magnificent overlord whimpers Kellyanne Stevenson and timid, conflict-fearing Treasury Minister employee cowering in a fort made up of boxes of tax code amendments. I think there's a way out of this. Surely we can just change the law to take out the biggest loopholes without asking any companies for any back payments for laws they didn't break at the time. It's not a perfect solution, but at least most of the protesters will go home and leave us alone. At least until they realize the corporate lawyers are back to their usual tricks. I actually disagree with her. I think that is the perfect solution. If there's a need to change the law, you change it. You don't punish anybody retroactively, and things move on according to the new law from here on in.
Yeah.
That's it. As far as it relating to the pandemic is concerned, this one is just out there. It's the most pressing issue in Andropolia. They're not worried about the pandemic.
Don't worry. Zane Straley will take care of your sick.
I mean, let's just say these people are happy to go into the streets to protest tax loopholes in spite of dangerous pandemic.
That's typical Andropolia, though. Also, they don't even know that they could get sick.
No, and Andropolia is, let's face it, the arse end of the world. So the pandemic probably hasn't reached here yet.
Or it just hasn't. They just haven't realized that it's reached there yet.
So unless there are vetoes incoming, that's exactly
what... No veto from Zane Strandler in this one. I think you can do whatever you want here. Yeah,
and it's simplifying the tax code, which is very much in the spirit of Andropolia. I think it's going to work wonders. Corporate lawyers are joyfully combing through the new tax code for any new loopholes for their clients.
New loopholes.
Hey. It's a flat tax anyway. I don't know how complicated my tax code is.
New loopholes.
Got to close those loops. The Andropolia Sentinel reports cinematic reruns prove popular. Jobless numbers grow. Oh, dear. Chamber of Commerce applauds government initiative, and Andropolia sweeps international most improved awards. So,
well done, you guys.
Mixed headlines there. Safety.
Oh, I should say, sorry. The international most improved awards is actually a venue, and they just literally swept it. It's a ruse. Is what I'm
happy to report that safety is up 6.5%. Income equality is up 4.5%. Pacifism up 2%, and authoritarianism, unfortunately, up 1%. As far as the downtrends are concerned, ideological radicality is down 1.5%, as is crime. That's good. Wealth gaps are down 4%, and weaponization down 5%.
That's not bad.
I think that's a week-on-week decrease in weaponization of something like 15%.
Yeah, I guess.
From the ban on heavy weapons.
Yeah, the only downside of this whole issue is that you didn't really deal with the pandemic. But other than that, I think it's all right.
I'm hamstrung. This is what the people wanted me to address.
Yeah, look, and don't get me wrong. Like, no. I commiserate with you having to deal with Andropolians on a day-to-day basis.
You know what?
Ugh, I'm still once a week is enough for
all
me.
All these sick, poor people outside are so bothersome. Can't we make them poorer?
I'm starting to think they don't even know what they want.
Really?
They're just showing up every week just to see how they can poke me and prod me. See what they can do. Anyway.
All right. Well, that's that. Is there a stat that we would like to compare? We haven't done this in a while.
Well, I'm very curious to see your weaponization stats.
Weaponization?
Oh, this is going to be a fun game for me.
Because in Andropolia, we are down to 7.4 weapons per person.
7.4.
We're down to that.
Uh-huh. Weapons per person.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
7.4.
7.4. I am as agog as you are.
Do you want to know what Zane Australia's maximum ever was?
This is a fun game.
Which I started out at.
I'll play this game too. What was your maximum?
My maximum was 0.23.
My maximum was 0.3.
Do you want to know what my current is that has been since September 2 years ago?
I sure am curious. What was your maximum or minimum?
0.15. That's what we're currently at and have been since September 2017.
Your maximum is half of where Andropolia started the game.
My max
at half a weapon between two people, essentially.
Well, I'm currently on 0.2.
And it has it has spiked as high as 8.2.
I can't imagine owning 8 guns.
That's just an average per person. Yeah. I mean, there are people.
I know.
There are going to be people with 30 or 40.
I'm still surprised that I have 1 gun per 5 people, effectively. Because I'm on 0.2, so
I guess I have one.
That's a lot higher than I thought it would be.
From 6.
I still feel like that's for a nation that doesn't have active like armed police force or a military. The fact that I have 1 gun per 5 people is too many.
Mm.
So like, I look at my
numbers. You have a pretty active black market, though, don't you?
Honestly, some weeks, 3 weeks in a row, I'll smash down to nothing, and then I'll be like, "Hey, let's build a national park." And Nation State's like, "Yeah, black market up 5,000%." I don't even know, man. Like, could be.
Got any of them sweet, sweet gum trees?
Actually, while we're here, black market. I'm curious.
Black market.
If mine's as bad as I think it is in. Oh,
that's
a. Oh my goodness. Mine looks like Everest. Like it goes up and then crashing back down. Look at this beautiful.
Oh,
thing.
Wow. Very sharp.
When I say I have a volatile black market, I wasn't kidding, but these numbers are too big to talk about.
What is it even called?
It's just mine's in standard monetary units.
Ah, yeah. I found it. Never mind.
And in terms of your money, what's the value of your black market?
Listen, I don't even know. Is it 2 billion?
Let's have a look.
My minimum was 2 billion. I think I'm on 487,279,000,000. Yep. And then more.
Andropolia's black market has just increased since the start of the game. It's currently at 887 billion amples.
Also, holy moly.
Yeah.
Mine actually got into the trillions.
It just climbs. It keeps climbing up.
Well, I peaked at 1 trillion, mind you.
Yeah.
But like I said, mine has been crazy. Like I'll do one thing.
So what is yours currently at?
Half a trillion.
Okay, I was expecting to be the highest.
Yeah.
Because I'm top 19% in the region, but I've topped out at 351 billion.
Right. I'm in the top 12 for the region.
I'm finding mine. Sorry, I just went through a general search. I didn't actually have it.
And I've kind of
I'm top 45%.
Steady incline along with my GDP.
Wait, what are you?
That
top
seems
what?
To be the case for me too.
Top 19.
I'm top. Oh, my, because regions, I'm top 45, so I'm in a bigger group, which means I'm smaller.
Well, I'm top 50 of the world, top 19 of the region.
Oh, which am I looking at? I was looking at the world, sorry.
Right.
So what are you in the world? Top 40?
50.
So I'm still, oh, okay, I'm 5%
off. You're still higher than me by $150 billion.
Yeah.
Or whatever you call your whatevers.
$150 million big dollars. It's pretty.
We're number one.
All right.
For black markets.
I think that'll do us for this week with those stark statistics.
Startling, you might say.
I changed my flag, by the way, guys.
Of course you did. You change everything all the time.
It's me as Ocean Master from Aquaman. Call me Ocean Master.
All right. Well, look, you can find us online. We're on Twitter. We are on Facebook. You can find us at our home on the web at thatsnotcanonproductions.com, as well as all of the other podcasts, some of which all of us are involved in somehow.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a minute.
Okay.
Andrew, what are you on?
I'm on this show.
And what other shows are also, you on?
I'm also on Second Take, the media review show.
What a coincidence. I'm also on Second Take, the media review show.
Oh my God, are you guys meeting for the first time?
I think we are. And up until this year where he abandoned us, Zane was also on that show.
For 2 years.
But Zane and I do another show together to which you're never invited, Seb.
Is that the drunk one?
Yes.
That's the one I want to be. Out of all the shows I've ever wanted to guest on, that's the one I want to be on.
Come along, it's fun.
Well, apparently I'm never invited.
It's true. Andy laid down that arbitrary rule, and now we have no choice but to stick by it.
No Sebastians. We can have one, but it will never be you. Like,
if you're interested, that is a glass of wine. Wine with an H.
So it's H-W-I-N-E, I believe.
Glass of W-H-I-N-E.
Of wine. And Zane, I'm on another one of your things.
Yeah, Law and Disorder, where you
Do a show together as well?
Yep.
Well, I do a show with some other people and Seb's sometimes there.
Seb's always there for 3 years, almost.
Almost.
Well done.
We're getting there, aren't we? Yeah.
Well done.
Same as Second Take, actually, the film one. We're pretty close to, because we only started a couple of months after Law and Disorder, I think.
Correct.
God, so old.
Podcasts.
Look how wise we are.
Mm. Yeah. Look how gray I am.
Yep.
Anyway, I've been Zane C. Weber, Chancellor of the National Council of Zane Australia, twirling forever towards unfortunately quite sickly future.
I am your number one contender, your man with the automatic rematch clause, Sebastian of the United States of Sub-America. Fight for your dreams and they will fight for you. Did that hurt you? Optimism hurt you?
No, that's just...
That's delicious.
That's like Facebook cliche, you know, soccer mum advice.
Welcome to 2019.
Well, I have been Andrew Schossler, the most supreme, magnificent overlord of everything you ever saw in the great Confederacy of Andropolia, consistently imploring you carte blanche sans plume.
Till next time, gentlemen.
Hi there, my name's Jessica Kate.
And I'm Ellen Rose.
And we're the hosts of Murder in the Land of Oz, a new Australian true crime podcast.
Yes.
We're starting off in Brisbane, our hometown, because
relatable.
Relatable. We're going to be coming to you every second Monday.
So give us a listen, give us a like.
And a subscribe. Come and join us on our journey where we explore the depths of true crime Australia. Oh yeah.